Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, this beautiful Lord's Day, to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to apprise you of. Just want to remind everyone that on Saturday, October the 29th, the whole church is invited to what's called the Key to the Kingdom event. It's an opportunity to come together on a one-day retreat. As you know, every before the pandemic, every year we would gather for a weekend retreat. This year we will have a one-day retreat. We will meet at the mall on at the Plymouth meeting. We will engage in official festivities, which will conclude at around 4:30 p.m. that evening. But we hope that everyone will have an opportunity to be a part of that. If you need transportation, please let me know. But we would like to have everyone out to participate that. But that's going to be on October the 29th. And again, it's going to be we're going to meet at the church on the church on the mall. There are other things going on at Olney Presbyterian Church, other communications that we have to bring before you. Please make sure that you go to our church website and stay abreast of what is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. This is God's word for us today. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me: "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Says the Lord, just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and destroy it, and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings." This is the word of the Lord.
I forgot to announce about the Community Fest, so I want to make sure that we do that. Community Fest, which is going to be on October the 8th from 2 to 4. It is called with a twist, and it's going to be, we're going to be gathering on Tabor Road. Is that it? But that's going to be on October the 8th. Also on that day, in the morning, Saturday morning, will be the kitchen cleanup. So it's an opportunity to be here all day for kitchen cleanup, but also to be reminded that at 2 o'clock we will have with the twist Community Fest here on Tabor Road. So please mark that down on your calendars. Okay, yeah, I thought there was more to that. we are planning on having a taste of Olney. It's an opportunity for us to share the different cultural context that we might be familiar with or may have come out of. And so we are hoping for it to be an occasion for us to just to share the variety of cuisines and cultures that make up the very diverse community of Alni, and indeed the very diverse community of our own household of faith. So if the Lord places it upon your heart, please bring a dish. Bring something that might reflect your cultural heritage, and it will be an opportunity again to acquaint people with the wonderful diversity of this community in terms of the cuisine that people are familiar with. So again, that's going to be on October the 8th to 4, and please mark that down on your calendar. Please plan to participate, and please bring a dish for that on October the 8th. Am I leaving anything out? Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone. I was away last week. Actually, I just got in on early Saturday morning from spending time in Lake Tahoe in Nevada and California, and it was a beautiful experience, just having opportunity to take in the beauty of the mountains and the lake. I'd never been there before, but it was really a very, very beautiful place, and had the opportunity to engage in some activities that I'd never done before. Some of it was hiking. I can't say that I finished the whole hike, but it was along the mountains and the trail there in the mountains. But got an opportunity to do that. Did some bicycling up some hills. I'll never do that again. it was taxing. The other thing I had the opportunity to do was kayaking on the lake, and I'd never kayaked before. It was it wasn't a pretty sight. I kept going around and around and around in a circle for a while there. I had to get used to rowing, but had a wonderful time, and so give God thanks for that time and that season and that opportunity. We want to continue our worship now with our second scripture reading, our gospel reading, which comes from Luke's gospel. We'll be reading from the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 25 through 33. So let us listen to God's word for us. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Here Jesus goes again, getting on to us a little bit about our stuff, about our possessions. I don't know about you, but every time Jesus starts to talk this way, as he does in our gospel lesson this morning, I always get a little nervous. Get a little nervous because we live in a country with lots of possessions, with lots of stuff. And indeed, we live in a country where the whole idea is to get stuff, accumulate stuff, consume stuff. So whenever I hear Jesus speak like this, I become nervous. One of the dangers, of course, of hanging around Jesus for any length of time is that he starts sounding more and more, well, he sounds more and more at odds with our conventional ways of doing things, more and more at odds with our conventional way of thinking, more and more at odds with our conventional values. Hang around Jesus enough when we begin to discover that he's not so much the nice, sweet, red, white, and blue family values Jesus that he's sometimes been made out to be. But instead, he's the Jesus who challenges us at every level with a simple invitation. But it's the most important invitation you'll ever receive. And the invitation is simply this: follow me. Follow me as I lead you into the kingdom. Follow me as I show you the way to eternal life. I want you to follow me. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus wants more than anything else. He wants us to follow him. Wants us to be his disciples. But he also wants us to understand that there's a cost. Following him could cost you everything. It could cost you your friends. It could cost you your family. It could cost you your possessions. It could even cost you your life. And that's what I like about Jesus. He's not about false advertising. He wants us to consider that being a disciple is expensive, that being a disciple is costly. And so he says, consider the cost. I want you to consider what it will cost you to be one of my followers. In our gospel lesson this morning, we are told that large crowds are traveling with Jesus as he makes his way along the road. And that's what everyone wants, of course. We all want crowds. We all like numbers. We all want the crowds behind us. Preachers love crowds because they in some ways validate us. Politicians love the crowds because they are the way to obtain power. Advertisers love the crowd because they're a way to make profits. We all love crowds, and we'll do almost anything to get crowds. We'll do almost anything to get people behind us, to get them in the door. Jesus has the crowds who are traveling with them. And I like the fact that the text says that the crowds are traveling with them. They're not necessarily following him yet, but they are traveling with him. Maybe they are just seekers. Maybe they are thinking about following him. But right now they're just traveling with him. They like the things that they see. They like the fact that he has been healing people. They like the fact that he has been casting out demons. They like the fact that he has been meeting their needs. And so the crowds are traveling with them. but have not yet made a serious commitment. But then Jesus turns around and says, whoever does not carry their cross, whoever does not renounce their possessions, whoever does not hate their mother or father, brothers and sisters, cannot be my disciples, cannot follow me. And I think if I were traveling with Jesus, I would say, wait a minute, Jesus. Whatever you do, don't tell them that. The whole idea is to get people to follow you. The whole idea is to get people in the door. If anything, continue to accentuate the fact that you can do things for them. Continue to tell them how they can meet healing in you. Continue to tell them how you can set them free from the things that oppress them. Continue to tell them all the wonderful things that you can do for them, that you might do for them, but whatever you do, for goodness sake, do not suggest in any way that there is something that you might be demanding of them. But Jesus says, I want them to know that there is a cost. There is a cost to being my disciple. Consider the cost. Jesus, of course, uses a couple of illustrations to make his point. One of them is about a builder who starts to build something, who starts to build a tower, and then recognizes that he doesn't have the resources to finish the job. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't start something that you cannot complete. I remember once in Atlanta, there was a beautiful house that someone had started. It was a beautiful frame located at the end of a cul-de-sac. But construction had stopped. It was about three quarters of the way through, looked like, but it had not yet been completed, and it looked like somebody had just stopped. They just stopped the process of building. There were piles of bricks in the yard, piles of sand. The weeds had grown over every place. There was a swimming pool that was half finished, but the house just sat there for year after year. A beautiful house all going to waste because somebody could not finish it. Maybe someone didn't consider the cost. And Jesus says, don't let that be you. Consider the cost of what it means to be my disciples. I think we all know people who start out making a commitment to God, making a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They start out, they are full of enthusiasm, and then over the course of time, they just kind of are pulled every which way by the affairs of life, and before you know it, they can't finish. But Jesus says, don't let that happen to you. There's a cost. There's a cost to following me. A cost to being one of my disciples. There's a word that captures what Jesus is talking about, of course. A word that conveys what Jesus is asking all of us to consider, and that word is sacrifice. I know Jesus doesn't use the word directly in our text this morning, but that's what he means when he talks about renouncing things, when he talks about renouncing our possessions, renouncing the things that we value, letting go of things, cross-bearing. He is talking about sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? That's what Jesus is saying. Are you willing to make the requisite sacrifices to be my followers? Are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? Sacrifice is one of those old-fashioned words that we don't hear a whole lot anymore, not even in the church. Indeed, I think sometimes we're afraid to ask people to sacrifice. Maybe it's because we have this sneaking suspicion that maybe God really isn't a priority in people's lives. You know, you can tell whenever something is a priority. You can tell whenever something is important. Whenever something is a priority in your life, you sacrifice for it. We make sacrifices because it's important. We are willing to do whatever it takes in order to realize the things that are really important, the things that we really care about. And whenever something is important to us, we don't mind sacrificing. I was talking to a young man the other day. He's working real hard. He'd recently graduated from college. He had very good grades, and I was asking him what he was going to do, what was next, and he said, "Well, I'm getting ready to get my PhD." I said, "Wow, that's going to be a lot of work." He said, "Yeah, at least 6 more years of school." He said, "It's going to be more money, more time studying, more time doing what I need to do." But he had this vision of his future, a vision that he wanted to see realized. And so he was willing to sacrifice, to do whatever it needed to be done in order to realize his dream. He had carefully considered the cost and was committed to making his dream come true. I know a young family just recently married, and their dream is to own a home in the near future, and so that's what they've been doing, saving their money so that they can put down a down payment on a house, and that's what they have given themselves over to, making the necessary sacrifices because that's what they want, that's what they value. They want a home for their family, and so they are willing to make the sacrifices. They have considered the cost, and so they make that sacrifice to do whatever they need to do in order to realize their dreams. And of course, as parents, I know many of you have made sacrifices for your children. I heard someone say the other day, the children are our most prized possessions. And indeed, a good parent will make any sacrifice for their children because their children are important to them. And so we're willing to make all kinds of sacrifices. But Jesus says this morning that the thing that ought to take priority over everything else, the thing that ought to take priority over every other consideration, over every other thing that we value, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, takes priority over everything, even our families. And that's what Jesus says this morning. Consider the cost. There's a cost to be my follower. There's a cost to be one of my disciples. Unless you are willing to give up everything, unless you are willing to give up the things that you value, unless you're willing to give up the things that define your life, unless you are willing to hate your mother and your father, your brother and sister, then you cannot be my disciple. Clarify a couple of things here this morning. because Jesus uses some strong language, as you heard. One of the words he uses, of course, is hate. And of course, it's unusual to hear Jesus talking about hating someone. Usually when Jesus talks about relating to someone, he is reminding us of our responsibility to love one another, to love our neighbors, to love even our enemies. And so when Jesus says, hate your family, hate your mother and your father, we are a bit surprised. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Could Jesus, the author of love, could Jesus, the one who come to show us what that means, could Jesus actually be telling us to hate our parents, to hate the people that we hold the most dear? But when Jesus talks about hating here, he doesn't mean a visceral dislike of someone. He doesn't mean having antipathy for our family members. Rather, he's talking about making a choice. Hatred here is about turning from one thing in order to embrace another. It's about priority. It's about allegiance. Jesus is saying, what are you going to give your ultimate allegiance to? What are you going to give priority to in your life? You will love one and you will hate the other in the sense that you will give one thing priority over the other. Something is going to take allegiance in your life. And so maybe one of the questions for us this morning is, what are you going to hate? What are you going to put aside for the sake of the gospel? What are you going to subordinate the gospel to? What are you going to relativize in comparison with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the good news of the kingdom? What are you going to set aside and make secondary because you have made God and the kingdom of God the number one priority in your life? I think one of the things we need to sacrifice is this notion that our lives somehow belong to us. That's the way many of us think. Even those of us who've given ourselves over to being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think that our lives belong to us. I heard a story this week about a large multi-cabined ship that set sail across the ocean. A passenger whose cabin was on the lowest level of the ship decided to dig a hole in the floor of his cabin, and of course the ship began to sink. And when the other passengers realized what was happening, they rushed into his cabin and they said, "What in the world are you doing?" And the man said, I'm digging a hole." And he said, "You can't dig the hole." And the man looked up and said, "This is my cabin. I paid for it, and I'm able to do whatever I want." And of course, the ship went down. And I think Jesus knows that one of the temptations that we might be drawn to is that we try to have God and try to have our lives too. As the commentator Debbie Thomas notes, we want to embrace a faith that doesn't involve costly choices. We want to experience Jesus the healer, Jesus the savior, Jesus who is our friend, but not so much the Jesus that barges into our private lives and asks the question, "What in the world are you all doing? What are you doing?" One of the strategies that we employ is we try to center and shape God around our priorities. Have you ever noticed that? How we try to shape God around our priorities, around the things that are important to us. It might be our families, family priorities. It might be work. Work may take a priority in our lives. It may be our political priorities. It might be our time. You know, time has become a priority, and sometimes we don't have time for God because our priority is our time. couple of weeks ago when I was back home, I went to church with my mother in the morning, little church that I grew up in. I usually try to go to church with my mother whenever I'm there in Missouri. And it was a nice little service. I remember telling my mother, though, before it started, I've been a Presbyterian now for almost 30 years. And so I told my mother, you know, if the preacher goes over an hour, if the service lasts more than an hour, I'm out of here. Gotta be an hour. Don't want to sacrifice any more time. And it did. The service stayed within the hour, and I was happy. And a little later on that Sunday evening, my mother said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Ready for what?" She said, "Going back to church." I said, "Mom, it's Sunday evening." She said, "Yeah, but we have Sunday evening service. Don't y'all have Sunday evening service at your church there?" And I'm like, "Mom, Sunday evening is a time to chill out. I've got plans for this evening. I plan to be with some of my friends, my high school friends, I haven't seen in a long time, not Sunday evening." So there's a cost. There's a cost of being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to give your priority? Are you going to give your priority to God? Is God a priority in your life? Do you care to make God a priority in your life? Are you more concerned about your time? Can't you find time for God anymore? The God who has given us all the time that we need? The God who has given us the time that we have, the God who smiles upon us, are we going to give God our time, or do we care about that? Do we make God a priority in our lives? You know, I once worked with a young woman who had her life all planned out. And she had a role for God in the plans that she made for her life. She was adopting her grandson. Her and her husband was adopting their grandson, and they were buying a house. She told me she'd been praying for this house, and they were in the process of buying the house. And she was looking for a car, and a relatively expensive car, one of those you know, high-end luxury cars, and she was asking a prayer for that, but she had things pretty much planned out. And I couldn't help but think, I wanted to ask her, you know, what if God isn't interested in your plans? What if God doesn't care about the plans that you are making? What if God doesn't care about you wanting to buy a house? What if God doesn't care about any of that? What if God's not caring about your plans, but rather God wants you to plan your life around what God is doing? Maybe that's something that we should all consider. And instead of trying to shape God around our plans, instead of trying to shape God around our lives, maybe we should open ourselves to having our lives shaped around God's agenda, around God's priorities. And Jesus tells us that God's priorities is the kingdom of God. God's priorities is to having us follow Jesus, who is leading us into the kingdom. And Jesus says there's a cost associated with that. If you want to be one of my followers, consider the cost. In the passage of Scripture right before our gospel lesson, Jesus tells a parable about a king or a ruler who throws a party, gives an invitation, and he wants people to come to his party, and so he sends out invitations, but, you know, people can't come. Not because they're bad people or because they're evil people, but they're just people who have other priorities. One person is getting married, so he can't come to the party. Another person has to tend his field, so he can't come to the party. He has to work. There's all kinds of reasons people can't come to the party. They can't come to to the invitation. They can't honor it because they're too busy. Other priorities. And so the king just sends his messengers out into the places where people are not so busy. Go out into the alleys. Go out looking for homeless people. Go out looking for people who are not connected. Go out looking for people who are willing to make the kingdom of God the number one priority in their lives. Because to be a follower of mine is costly. There's a cost, Jesus says. Whenever I read this passage of scripture, I can't help but think about St. Francis Assisi. It's been almost 40 years now, but I remember when I was a young military officer in the reserves, I had to travel to Baltimore on my way to Aberdeen Proving Grounds to train in my branch. But I remember that night I stayed up all night reading one of the biographies of St. Francis of Assisi. A very remarkable young man. He was the son of a wealthy clothing cloth merchant. And like most young people, he loved to party, loved to be a bit rowdy at times. He was expected to follow his father into the clothing business. But one day he, while praying in a little dilapidated chapel, he had a vision. And in that vision he heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Francis, build my church." And he took it quite literally. He thought that God was calling him to rebuild and repair the little chapel that he was praying in, but he didn't have any money of his own. So he pilfered one of his father's horses, and he sold one of his father's horses, and he took some of his father's expensive cloth, and he sold it in order to find the money to begin to rebuild this little chapel, little church. Of course, his father wasn't pleased, and when his father heard about it, he was quite angry, and he sued his son in court, took him before the local magistrate, sued Francis in court, and had him drugged before the local magistrates there on the square. And Francis came and he took off all of his clothes there in the midst of the square and gave his clothes to his father. And he announced that he was renouncing his father. "I'm no longer the son of this man," he said, "but I am now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus says that there's a cost. That if we're really going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it could cost you a lot. It may cost you your family. It may cost you even your life. I heard on the news the other day about young Christian women in Egypt who were being kidnapped and forced to marry people of other religions. They were targets, but they realized that to be a Christian in that part of the world was costly. I know in some places of the world, Christian churches are being bombed because they recognize that there's a cost. Sometimes here in our own country, we take things so cavalierly. Sometimes here in our own country, Perhaps we have cheapened what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've made it too easy. We don't demand. We don't sacrifice. And where we don't take things seriously, people don't take it seriously. But this morning Jesus says, we need to take it seriously. If you're really committed to following me, says Jesus, if you're really committed to going the way that I'm going, I want you to think real hard about it. I want you to make sure you have your priorities straight. I want you to make sure you know what it is you're getting into, because God demands your absolute allegiance. God wants you to prioritize the way of the kingdom. God will have no other gods before him. And so remember the cost. Consider the cost. I would have thought that when Jesus said this, that most of the people turned away. Most of the crowd turned away. And maybe most of them did, but I'm amazed by the fact that his disciples were still with him. They still followed him. Indeed, at one point they say, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. But they were still with him, still following him. Just like you are still following this morning. But that's what God requires of us, to still follow him. Because his way is the only way that leads to real life, abundant life. But there's a cost. Jesus says it's going to cost you. When we're doing it with integrity, when we're genuinely following him, when we have let everything go, when we have subordinated everything to him, it will cost us something. But the reward is everlasting life. And so, my friends, this morning, consider the cost of what it means to follow the one who is the author of life itself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that your way is costly. We know that our Lord is a gracious God, a merciful God, a God who has lavished his grace upon each and every one of us, and he has lavished that grace upon us free to us, though we know it costs our Lord and Savior Jesus everything. We know that the salvation that you have given us, the salvation that you have provided for us, is free. And yet we are reminded this morning that to be a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is expensive. It demands our whole life. Because when you call us, you demand our whole lives. Help us, Lord, to consider the cost. Help us to subordinate our priorities to the one priority that matters, and that is the priority of the kingdom of God, the priority of what you are doing in redeeming the world. Help us to give our whole lives wholeheartedly to what you are doing in the midst of our world, so that we might be people who have truly considered what it means to follow you and yet have given everything up in order to follow you. Because yours is the way to abundant life. And we ask all of these things in the gracious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.